Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Christina Hines, Dr. Christina Hines. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon on the 7th of October, a wonderful Wednesday. So before we begin to take some calls, I'd like to tell you all a little bit about what has been on my mind over the last few days or so. And I've been reading, I don't really like to read the court pages, but recently I have been reading the court pages, and I've been following a case that really caused me to think about some of the things that are happening in Barbados as well as globally. And this case relates to a girl who has a rape accusation against an older man. And, you know, despite the details of the case, which at least what is presented in the media, being really disturbing, the other thing that I found disturbing about this case is that it took 10 years to reach the courts. So at the time, the individual was 16 years of age, and 10 years later, it has reached the courts. One of the people who was supposed to give a testimony at the hearing couldn't remember what she said in the statement. I found the whole thing really disturbing, not just because of the content of the case, and it was a serious case. It is a serious case. But also the length of time that people have to wait to have these kinds of matters resolved and how unsettling it must be. And the other thing about it that made me feel a little uncomfortable is the fact that we are in a period where a lot of children are at home for significant periods of the week due to the way that school is being conducted in this hybrid format. And home is not always necessarily the safest place for people, as you know, this incident indicates. And it just makes me wonder the extent to which some of the children who are at home are home in safe spaces and in safe ways, not just safe in terms of safe from COVID, but some of the other disturbing things that can happen within a household setting. And we can couch this within a kind of broader concern that we have in Barbados about violence, because there is a lot of violence. We see a lot of violent crimes in the papers. Yesterday we saw two being arrested for murder, including a teenager. So these are just some things that have been on my mind, and I wonder how these things can be handled by our political system, by our legal system, by our social services. So that's just what has been on my mind this morning over last night. And now I turn it over to the phones. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Yes, ma'am. First time calling the program.
Oh, welcome.
Yes, I am so frustrated and depressed right now. Mm-hmm. And I call this program because, like, I have no other alternative. Concern about the people that come in from foreign country into Barbados.
Yes.
I knew that they have to go in quarantine.
Okay.
But the system that they have on the website, it's not working at all, period.
What system is this?
Okay. My daughter, she arrived in the country on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
What they have on the website, you have to take your test before you arrive.
Okay.
And she do that. She came in on a negative COVID test. When she came in, she went in a private facility called the government facilities. Never sound so nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people, they have to sleep on bunk beds. They have to share a bathroom. And if you're supposed to separate from people, that don't sound too right to me.
Right. Uh-huh.
And then she have a baby with her.
Okay. So
okay.
Tell us what happened.
First thing, they had on the website that people, 5 days after your first negative test, you're supposed to take a second test, and if your second test is negative, then you are free to go.
Okay.
Okay. They give us plenty reference number that could call. None of those number does not work.
Mm.
When you call those number, you get a recording. There is no more room in the box to leave message.
Okay.
Then I try calling, Googling number, calling. I call a number and I get through to that number to talk to somebody wearing the COVID hotline number. The person tell me they cannot assist me from there, but the person talk to me and tell me it's not 5 days prior to your test, it's 5 days after landing in Barbados.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
So my daughter, if them going off of 5 days after the test, my daughter negative test was due on Sunday. That was her 5 days.
Go ahead.
Okay. So if it's 5 days after you arrive in Barbados, today would be 5 days after arriving in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
Up until now, I cannot get to talk to nobody. Nobody can talk my daughter where she is staying or anything, and I don't know if she's going to get tested today so she could get out with the baby or anything like that. However, I try making connection calls. I calling all over to see if I could get some assistance. I get to find out that people that stay at the government facilities that came on the same flight with my daughter, they was tested on Sunday and they were sent home on Monday.
Okay.
So why my daughter cannot get tested? They sort of forget the people that stay in the private facilities.
Oh, do you think maybe this may be a backlog? Because there may be a lot of people who have come in. Especially right now, there are a lot of people who may require testing because of this cluster in Barbados. You think this has contributed to the delay in the second test?
Well, as far as I understand, what I heard, because I have to be talking to people and I talking to other people that have family members that come in from different countries also. So I heard that what the people that stay in the government facilities, they would get tested for first and get sent home because they are getting free food and blah, blah, blah. So it's on the government hands, so they have to get out because they don't want to have so much people. But the people in private facilities, like they are draining them. We have to pay for the stay in the hotel. We have to buy food. We have to do all this and things. So it's like they make them spend their money.
Well, it's a choice, though. So,
well, yes, because if the government place never sound appropriate for somebody with a young with a baby, mm-hmm. you sleep on bunk beds. There is no there is just a big long hall, as far as I understand, with bunk beds and your sheer bathroom. That doesn't sound too healthy to me.
But I'm sure the government is taking the. Well, I can't say I'm sure, but the government is likely to be taking the necessary precautions, and we've been told that Barbados is handling the issue of COVID-19 quite well. So there doesn't need to be any fear of the facilities, but if people then choose to isolate or quarantine at their own expense, then I guess you run this kind of risk. It's unfortunate that it is expensive and people are facing expense. But as I said, this is a choice, right?
Yes, but today would be day five.
Mm-hmm.
So why nobody can talk to see if and then what I was surprised to somebody to say to me, well, if you cannot wait for them to go and test her, why you pay $150 and get the test done private. So I asked, how long after you pay the $150 you get the result? The same 24 hours as they said. But why somebody didn't tell me that on Sunday or on Monday?
Mm-hmm.
That you could pay and get through then, since you do wait, and now it's day five. That is what I'm saying, that what they say day five,
mm-hmm.
that they would come and test. And they wait till day five to tell me you have to pay $150 if you want the process to be faster. Why somebody couldn't tell me that on Monday or Sunday?
Okay, well, I can appreciate that perhaps communication needed to be clearer. I mean, it's unfortunate that you faced this inconvenience, but I hope that your family member will be tested soon and that the person will have a negative test so that they're able to be reunited
with
you and so on.
I hope so. I hope so. But what I am saying that, I mean, I need assistance so she could get tested today. That I call in everybody, and that's why I end up out of frustration calling this call show now to speak. I listen to this call show every day, but I never called before.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew this radio program is work. People is call.
Yes.
And it's work. Them get through.
Well, I hope that someone is hearing you and hearing your plea and that you will have some success. So you've had the opportunity to air your concern. I hope that it will be heard and that within, hopefully, the next 24 hours or so, you will have a test and a response for your family member. Thank you for calling. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, good morning to you.
Morning.
I'm just calling on the heel of that last caller, and I'm going to be very brief. I think what we're hearing, and I want to add to what she has said in terms of all those numbers not working. She's called them. I've had people who said that persons were supposed to get follow-up after the first test. They haven't had follow-up, et cetera. I've listened to the Barbados Association of Medical Practitioners saying they're concerned about the latest travel guide for persons coming in, et cetera. I say all that to comment on your statement that it has been said that we are doing well and you're sure that, you know.
Well, it's likely. I can't say sure. It's likely.
Well, you know, I'm just following up on what you said. And all I'm saying is we have made, in March, there are mistakes made when persons came through no testing. There are other things that we don't know of. And while we want this country to remain free of COVID, community spread COVID.
Yes.
I am saying to you, what I am seeing is a lot. We get a lot of propaganda. Basically, is what I'm seeing. A lot of propaganda, and then you get persons coming out and putting a positive spin. But if, as a moderator, you don't know, you know, you can't add to what the lady is saying. I suppose for callers like that, the best you can do is allow them to state it and hope that the responsible person would respond with accuracy to what they're saying. But all I am saying is I am not sure that everything the government comes out and tell us and put a positive spin on really is the case to the full extent. And
okay.
I want us to keep an open mind because this government is a lot about optics and public relations, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, we just want the truth. I believe this whole question of community spread is one that is going to be very worrying going down the road as it relates to that cluster. What happened to that woman who came in? We're told it is a visitor, then we're hearing it's a Barbadian. I don't know who it is, the person who had a negative test and then positive and then the housekeeper, etc., when she should have been in quarantine. It seems to me the policy is all over the place. Who's in isolation, when they're in isolation, who in quarantine. Someone told me, a young worker at a hotel told me, there was a positive guest at their hotel. What is happening to those workers? Then you heard visitors were going into polyclinics, sitting down next to the people in the polyclinic, the locals, waiting for tests. They don't know if they were positive or negative. I am saying to you, this thing is not as rosy as they're putting it out there, and we need to start to ask some serious questions. I'm not depending on the journalists, though. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your call. And obviously, we have to be on our guard. We have to try and protect ourselves. We can only work with the information that we have available, and we all hope that this information is indeed accurate because our health and our public health system are both very important. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Morning.
And good morning, and how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I wish I could say I'm fine, but I'm trying.
Okay.
Now, I try to be as brief as possible. My case was supposed to have been settled by the end of August.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear anything from my attorney. I didn't call. I called the 7th and 3rd of September, the 10th, and the 3rd, same jumbo, the 10th, He's going to ask for a $30,000 to see me through the next year because the government has no money on my case. They'll have to be referred to next year. I called Barbados today, and I got an interview, and my lawyer told the reporter that he's going to ask the Attorney General for $3,000 to help me, and my case will be finished by the end of the year.
All right.
My expenses went into almost $6,000 a month. But the thing about it is, since the 17th, when he said that, I haven't heard anything from him. I haven't heard anything from the Attorney General's Office of Labor. I'd like to know if the request was denied or if both the attorney and the Attorney General offices have been closed for the time being. Because there's no way you can take so long to write a check. Thank you.
Okay, so this is a very specific matter. I am not certain how we can get an answer for you on that. Good morning, this is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Christina Hines. The number to call is 434-1790. You can reach us via WhatsApp at 266-4862. And speaking of the WhatsApp, there is an interesting message here. This individual is saying, good morning. I would like to pose a question on this forum to the Ministry of Education. Have the persons who volunteered as school monitors from September 21st to today been considered, or will they be considered for employment now that these positions have been made paid positions? The person goes on to state that they have a relative who volunteered for this position for 2.5 weeks and turned up to the school this morning to continue and found that monitors had reported for duty. That's an interesting question. I don't know much about this. Hopefully someone may be able to clarify this and give us a little bit of information. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Right. I'm getting an echo, so I'm gonna have to take, I'm the party car and take this off of the system here. Just one. Right. Right. So can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Right. I want to follow on from the caller not too long ago, spoke about the protocol is somewhat being chaotic. We get mixed signals from the government, and I'm going to say why I made that comment.
Okay, go ahead.
We have had, hello?
Go ahead.
We have had a situation, I observed this on my TV. We have had a situation where we were to observe an announcement being made of a candidate for St. George. And this press conference was held in a room where all the cabinet members were there, and there was no social distancing. They were sitting next to each other. And at the same time, we are to hear an announcement being made about this situation with this housekeeper and Ellerslie and so on. But you see, what comes across to me, at the end of that conference, that press conference, that was just the other day, with regard to this situation, this latest situation, I hear this thing coming across that this tone that the Barbadian people need to social distance and they need to observe protocols and wear masks. And you say it with all of this, in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when we look at what you are doing as a government, you are sitting, next to one another, all the ministers, the ones in the back, the ones in the front, the senior minister, and the one joining. And my question is, you have the churches sitting 6 feet apart, though, and you have it, you've got it so stringent, and on top of that, you're coming around and going by the doors and testing the people and arguing with them at the doors because you're trying to test the church or something. You're creating scenarios at the church door, and then you're revealing yourself, oh, you passed the test, I'm with the COVID unit. What is really going on?
Right.
If you have a law and you want the person, the public, to follow a law, follow the law yourself. We can't see images and pictures of circulating, of you not wearing masks in certain fora. But then you, whenever there's an issue or there's a situation, which is not caused by the Barbadian people, because there's no country spread. So it is not caused by us. It is caused by your policy of bringing persons into the island. So when there's an issue, there really should not be a situation where you are speaking to the Barbadian person. We are out here trying our best.
Okay.
So we do not deserve to hear the tone that there's something wrong with what the Barbadian public is doing.
So your issue is with the tone or with the policy?
With both.
With both?
With the policies that are not being followed by the policymakers. Mm-hmm. And then the arrogant tone that you bring across, you end your meeting, you end your broadcast, your press conference with this, I don't want it. I would say admonition to be nice towards the Barbadian people. We didn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
You said there's no spread. So if there's no spread, we didn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
So deal with your own matters, deal with your own policies, and follow your policies, and stop changing them all the time, and putting the Barbadian public at risk.
But isn't the change
that's
in...
all you want to say today?
Okay, thank you. I think the changes have to do with trying to respond to what is happening externally, because this situation is ever-changing. However, I think it is important for us to practice what we preach. And...
Yes,
you know, even for us as individuals, sometimes we get a little bit hung up over what we see other people doing. This person is not wearing the mask, they're not doing this, that, and the next. And sometimes we ourselves slip. So I think everybody needs to be on their guard. The situation we have right now in the United States of America is quite interesting because of some of the reasons you just pointed out. People are being told to do certain things, but then sometimes we see those who are in positions of leadership not necessarily doing what we were told we are supposed to do. So I think each of us has to make sure that we are doing what we are supposed to do. And also when we see others who are doing the things that they shouldn't be doing, try and find a way to implore them to stick to your social distancing, wear your masks. It is good for us to talk about these protocols. If we are unclear about them, we need to have clarity. I would encourage people to try and find them. They're usually on the GIS social media as well as the website. So let's all do our best, and we hope that those in decision-making positions will do their best as well.
Thank you. A great day to you.
Same to you. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Dr. Hanks.
Good morning.
Could you tell me who is responsible for the conduct of elections in Barbados?
Who is responsible?
Which agency?
Do you know? Or you genuinely want me to
tell you? I'm asking you. I know, but I am asking you.
If you know, tell us.
I think the Electoral and Boundaries Commission is responsible for the conduct of elections in Barbados.
Okay. So go ahead, tell us what you want us to know about this.
So when the cabinet of Barbados
mm-hmm.
decides that there should be 3 debates in the by election, aren't they infringing on the right of the Electoral Boundaries Commission?
I am not sure. Are they? It's a suggestion. I don't know that it can be mandated. What are your views on this? You are saying that they are infringing? Or you're
saying that they're infringing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if an agency is responsible for doing something, how can another body of people decide that they are going to get involved in this thing?
But that's not the actual conduct of the election, is it? Is this is a suggestion for the canvassing, you know, in replacement of some of these mass meetings that you can have these debates. I find it quite interesting because I wonder if the other individuals who are supposed to participate in this debate were consulted about holding debates. Is this their forum of choice? I have some questions about that, but I'm not sure that it infringes on Electoral and Boundaries Commission. If you know that it does, you can tell us how, though.
I don't
specifically
know. If some person is responsible for doing something, let the people do their job.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And do you see the need for any tree debates in a by-election?
I think it is an interesting proposal. I don't know that it is necessary. It is a way of exposing people to the candidates. However, this is a by-election, so in a lot of senses, it is a local election, and the entirety of Barbados does not necessarily need to watch this debate unless we are putting on a show or it is about something besides this individual constituency of St. George North. I think it is interesting. I wonder, as I said previously, if the candidates are all on board with this debate, if they have any issues with the debate, if they see it as beneficial, problematic, skewed towards one side over others. There are some questions we can ask about it, but it is an offer, and I suppose it is up to the candidates and the political parties that they represent to decide whether they will take it up.
All right, and there's a second issue. Now, the Prime Minister has said she needs Senator Moore to sit in Parliament so she can do some heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, doing heavy lifting means that she's going to have a portfolio, not so?
I don't know what it means.
All right. There are three ministers in the Senate where Senator Moore is. So don't these three ministers do any heavy lifting?
I would hope so.
So why Senator Moore has to go into the lower house to do heavy lifting?
Well, we will see if Senator Moore does go into the lower house. If she does, then we will see what assignment she is given. If she is given an additional assignment, I don't know what this metaphor of heavy lifting is meant to speak to. Only the Prime Minister can explain what she means by that statement. So some of these things perhaps we just have to take as what they are, which are statements in promotion of particular candidates to highlight the strengths that the party backing the candidate believes that the person has. They have the ability to do heavy lifting, so we will put this person to the task. But I really do not know what heavy lifting is required. We know that we have quite a number of cabinet members, and personally, I would not like to see any more added unless some are subtracted. So we will see what becomes of this. All of this hinges on whether or not Senator Moore is elected as the MP for St. George North, and we just have to wait and see.
Finally.
Yes.
Do you know what the position of Senator Moore?
What do you mean?
Did she attend the last meeting of the Senate?
I did not look at the last meeting of the Senate. I could find out. Why are you asking?
Well, she has been removed from the cabinet, but she hasn't sat in the Senate.
Well, I'm sure there are rules governing extended or multiple absences from the Senate, and those should take care of any unnecessary absences, I believe. I really would not like to speak about what people are doing for their employment, because even if you are in the Senate, you can still work. So if anybody in the Senate is continuing to do their job, they're within their rights to do so, wouldn't they be?
All right, finally now, if another
opposition... No answer for me? You don't think they're within their rights to continue the job?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Okay.
All right, finally,
uh-huh.
If another opposition parliamentarian wins the St. George North seat, how is the Governor General going to determine who is opposition leader?
Oh, I love this question. I love this question. I really don't know because, well, assuming that, so this
and
is all very hypothetical, right?
The other one is not willing to support Bishop Azali.
Exactly. So this is purely speculative now.
If the one approaches the Governor General and says, I want to be the opposition leader.
Mm-hmm.
How there are two persons there, and not one is willing to support the other.
Well, this is the time when we can actually see the non-ceremonial elements of the Governor General. So generally, we think of the Governor General as holding a ceremonial position. But in this kind of case, the Governor General would indeed have some power to decide who should be the leader of the opposition. So if we have two individuals from two different political parties, then the government, and one wants to challenge the other as being leader of the opposition, neither wants to support the other, then this is where the Governor General certainly will hold sway, and we can see some of the actual powers that the Governor General possesses coming into play. We are told that within the next year or so, Barbados is to move towards being a republic. So one assumes that these powers would be transferred to a president if and when we have one. So it's quite interesting, and we'll see what happens. If this is something that we really need to consider, or whether or not this speculation is just an intellectual mind exercise.
Okay, thanks for that, Dr. Haynes.
All right, thank you for calling. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yes. Welcome.
Yes. I just wanted to add a comment to the arrivals.
Okay.
As a frontline worker in the visitor rentals and so forth, my concern is when you arrive in Barbados, and you are sent to your accommodation, awaiting that window of 5 to 7 days for a second test. There is absolutely no control on the visitor's whereabouts.
So, and this is for the medium risk category, not for all categories, correct?
This is for high risk and medium risk countries right now.
But for high risk, aren't they supposed to be isolated for that period until they get the second test?
Ma'am, I think the whole protocols have become so corrupted and confused that I, as I said, who am responsible for guest arrivals and their accommodation, I am extremely concerned. I have had the experience of prior guests coming in. They have been awaiting their test, but they're not confined. They're in the supermarkets. They're going on their tours. They're only being checked during the day hours, so they are free to go wherever they want at night. And I'm particularly worried given our expected high arrivals for December into New Year.
So what is the responsibility of the hotel?
Well, the hotels I'm not a hotel. I'm an independent. I'm not a hotel.
But do you know if they have a responsibility to ensure that those who are awaiting tests, in particular from the high-risk category, remain within their rooms or within the designated areas?
As I said to you, ma'am, I'm not a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an independent renter with villa accommodation. I am not under an umbrella of a hotel or anything like that.
So is there any mandate that you have to control your guests then?
But ma'am, that's impossible.
Okay.
Because one, how do you control a guest who comes to Barbados is given the leeway to leave the airport or leave the government facilities, is supposed to be isolating, waiting for their second test. But you can't control that. Okay, let me give you an example. Somebody goes through the gate. What are you going to do? Even if you see them, are you going to say, well, you can't leave? And if they say, well, you can't stop me from leaving, I don't have powers of arrest.
But are you receiving high risk?
Member, I can't detain any member of the public from leaving or going about their whereabouts.
Are villas allowed to accommodate people in the high risk category?
If they come in with their first negative test, yes.
Okay.
They get sent to the villa and then they are then awaiting a second test.
So do you have a suggestion?
No. Yes, I have a suggestion.
Okay.
I have a suggestion that you should not be allowed to come to the villa from high risk or medium risk until you have received that second test from the government.
Okay. Because there's no way for you all to control the movements of the guests.
Because we can't control the movement of the guests.
Okay.
We can't. And the only facilities that can do that are the hotels that are the private hotels that are doing the that are put as isolation centers or the government institutions. And the way that this cluster has spread throughout a family came from one single housekeeper.
Okay.
From a person who came in with most likely a negative test and who only contracted or whose virus load only showed up 5 to 7 days. You know how many places a guest can go waiting on that second test and could be actively incubating that virus?
That's so true.
And that is the scare. The scare is that I don't think our population, our workers, should be put at risk. Our tourism workers, our taxi drivers, et cetera, should be put at risk. Well, when you, the government, should be saying to medium high-risk countries, you will stay at our facilities until you have received your second test, period.
Well, that's a useful suggestion. Let's see if it will be effective or if it will be taken into consideration. I think there are other people that also share your concern. So hopefully it won't fall on deaf ears, but will be at least considered. Thank you
okay.
for your call. Good morning. Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
I'm okay. I guess it's just fitting that the lady was speaking about COVID protocols and COVID tests. Because I have a very, very, very serious concern. And it also comes off of the statement that the CMO gave that was actually on the newscast this morning of institutions that are arbitrarily taking action regarding COVID testing and persons
who should remain at home. Stating that individuals should remain at home.
Not only that, but I know of a particular institution, a hotel, that's sending home their staff who have connections to the Ellerslie School.
Oh.
They're arbitrarily sending them home. If they find out that you have a child that goes to the Ellerslie School, they're sending you home and telling you to go get tested. I'm trying to figure out if this institution, this workplace, think that they are the authorities and they can make these decisions just like that. Once they know the child, and I'm telling you, this is not speculation, something I know for sure, that if they find out somehow, I don't know how they find this out, because I don't know if they did their own tracing, because they haven't, or if they are told that you have a child that goes to the proposed affected school, they're sending you home until they get tested, but they're not telling you what you should do after you get your first test. It's not sick leave. It's not a layoff. They're sending you to tell you to go get tested. They're not telling you when to come back. They're not telling you how to come back. There's no protocol on exactly how you're supposed to re-enter the workplace. But they're sending you home.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not telling their workers what to do. So these people are arbitrarily being sent home and telling them to go get tested because apparently this institution somehow thinks that they're better than the science and they know what's happening with the science. The government is doing their job. Let the government do their job. You should not be doing this to your worker based on speculation.
Yeah, I think some institutions are trying to be cautious. They don't want COVID-19.
No, they're not being cautious.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're not being cautious, ma'am. Don't give them no credit. They're not being cautious.
Well, I'm not necessarily giving them credit, but I'm trying to put on somebody else's shoes and think from their perspective.
That is paranoia. And if you're a professional, well-run organization, you would not take these steps. You would put a structure in place if you have something, and then you would take your advice from the authorities who have the science. You don't.
All right.
So you can't be arbitrarily sending home your staff, and these are people hourly paid. So there's no something up in the air as to whether these people are actually going to get paid for the time they're home.
Right. Okay.
You hear me? I'm telling you this now. This happened at a very popular hotel, and this is going to get worse because other institutions are going to start to do this nonsense. The authorities need to step in right now. The Labor Department and the Ministry of Health, in conjunction, need to speak to these institutions and let them know exactly what is actually happening because they're doing nonsense. And the people are out of work and they're coming back to work and now you're being affected because your child has gone to a school that you think is somehow affected. The government is doing its job by doing the contact tracing. these institutions and workplaces need to let the government do their job. Do not take arbitrary, don't take arbitrary decisions to affect your workers. You understand?
Yeah, and with I think no this is a fair point. I think one of the things that perhaps employers may want to consider is consulting someone before making these kinds of decisions. So consulting the government itself or someone in the labor department or perhaps an employment rights lawyer or a specialist to make sure that they're not falling aground of any of the laws.
My whole point is you can't take a worker and say, well, I hear your child goes to this school, you got to go. What nonsense is this?
Okay.
This is a professional organization behaving this way. And this is supposed to be a professional organization, a very popular hotel that has done this.
Right.
They've started to do this. And if anyone for the Labor Department is listening, you need to investigate this instantly.
Okay.
You understand? Because you can't arbitrarily pick your staff and say, well, because you go, you need to go get tested, you need to go tested, and not even tell them how they're supposed to come back to work.
Mm-hmm.
So after they're tested the first time, they get their result, what are they supposed to do? Bring the result in and say, well, look, this is the case.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, this leaves room to a whole set of victimization, though.
Yeah, all right.
And these institutions that do this need to listen. You are adding to the paranoia and the panic. You cannot do this. I wish organizations in Barbados who people have held in a particular esteem would act the way people hold you, though.
Okay.
Because this is absolute nonsense.
All right. Well, thank you. We have heard your concern, and thank you for your call. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Christina Hines.
Good morning, Dr. Hines.
Yes, good morning, sir.
I don't like speaking to moderators and subject matters that they are not or favorite. That is why I want to deal with a little bit of your profession.
Okay.
I like to use my moderators to maximum.
All right.
I'm sensitive political scientist. Right? Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
Yeah. I bypass certain things, and you ever watch where you are doing the American politics, how a chart of the different states is set up?
Yes.
Right. Now, I want to look bypass this January, this by-election. This by-election is a serious by-election leading into the January election.
Why is it serious?
That's what I can give you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, St. George, you know, the closest part to St. George is St. Philip, St. John, St. Thomas, and St. Joseph.
All right.
Now, the outcome of this general best by election could impact on the periphery. Now, you have St. George North and you have St. George South. Then you leave St. George South, you're going straight into St. Philip. Now, I have heard, and this is what awakened me to think, I have heard the representative of St. George South crying out for roads in his constituency, which is next door to St. George North.
Yes.
Now, I could recall Sir Louis Tull on the evening of his departure cry out in St. George South, saying that he was treated like an outside child.
Mm-hmm.
He could not get anything done in St. George South.
All right.
Now, I am looking that if it so happened that Floyd Reefer, the candidate, happened to be successful in St. George North, I believe it could be a repercussion into St. George South.
Awesome.
And by extension, into St. Philip. So I am looking above.
But how could there be repercussions? I don't understand.
Then I said the repercussion. If St. George North carry a victory, and the St. George South candidate at present is crying out for things to be done, and he only got 18 more months or 2 years to get things done, the two, although they are divided, are still the same. So if all the work is being done in St. George North, and St. George South can't get anything done, and then you get St. Philip
the other way around, St. George South and North can't. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And is St. Philip crying out for the same thing? And it's just like when we heard about the Busser Revolution. Mm. When Busser left St. Philip and come down. So it would be like St. George sending the message up to the south and into St. Philip. And then you look and see that St. Philip would have at least three members of the Barbados Labour Party up there that would be suffering for representation too. So this by-election maybe, I am not going into it, but this by-election could be the signal for representation. And if the other members can't get and realize that St. George North is getting everything now at by-election, it may not pay dividends to the government. And that is all I have to say. You could put your own assessment on what I have said.
Well, what you're saying reminds me of, I was watching or listening to Joe Biden speak, not yesterday, day before yesterday. And one of the things, this is in the USA, obviously, one of the things that he said, which I appreciated, was that he is running as a Democratic candidate, a Democrat, but he will govern for the entire country. And one really hopes that individual constituencies will not be starved or favored for electoral purposes by the government that is supposed to serve all of us. If this is something that is happening, it is quite troubling. We know that it has happened. And these are some of the concerns that people have in terms of how they vote. So are they voting for the candidate or are they voting on the basis of whether they think their constituency or their community will receive resources if they choose the wrong candidate? I really hope that we can move away from this type of politics and we don't deprive people in particular areas because of how they have voted. But obviously, strategically, one can see benefits of showing a population or a segment of the population what the government can do for you and therefore why you should continue to vote for the party in power's candidates. I'm not saying this is how we should vote. I'm saying these are strategic decisions that are made, not always in the best interests of the people of Barbados. And I hope that we're moving away from that. Yes. Tell me the last thing.
You started out where someone asked about who the Governor General would meet the opposition leader if the present member of St. George happened to win the Floyd Reefer, the candidate. And how do we make it? I believe that constitutionally, the Governor General look at the political party that have shown a very high percentage of voters. And the Democratic Labour Party would have that. Unlike Adderley, his party has not established yet to prove that it has a following. So I think, with all fairness, the Governor General would have to look at Floyd Reefer if he had to win. That is my assessment.
Well, this is an assumption. I think the Governor General should be left to decide what
I know that. Okay.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your call. I enjoyed that discussion. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning. How are you this morning? Hope you're in good health.
I am. I think so. How are you?
I'm fine. Here sitting.
Good.
I don't like replying to callers, but I would like to continue on the last caller. So you know that is something that just off in my head because he just finished.
Okay.
He was an issue there that when I heard the representative of St. George South, I said, something wrong. Because here is a gentleman in charge of a constituency that only a couple of words divide St. George North. And I was told that the former MP for St. George South had done so much for St. George South. Mm-hmm. I mean, North. And I said to myself, why would he be complaining that he was done? And I said, there's something wrong. So listening to the gentleman just now is a funny situation. I think it's almost impossible that St. George was so comfortable in being managed by the candidate and not the party. Something is wrong there. So I think Mr. Sutherland might have misspoke. I don't know if he can come and correct what he said. Now let me get to my reasons for calling this morning.
Okay, go ahead.
Now I, for the last 6 years, was begging one of my number one moderators, Mr. David Ellis, mm-hmm. why reporters do not question our opposition leader, nor our prime minister. In other words, when the prime minister or present prime minister speak, it'd be like just a speech. Even if reporters did, it ends up like a speech. No questions, and if any, nothing serious. But what registered in my head again the day when it was announced that election would be on the 11th of November. When the Prime Minister finished, I heard her begging reporters to ask her a question. Begging them. You heard it?
I heard her ask.
I got caught. She didn't say it once. She was begging them to question her and not a voice. You take any other part of the world.
What should they have asked, though?
Sorry?
What do you think they should have asked?
I got so much things I could ask, I don't want to go into them because I would take a balance to the show asking.
Okay.
What I don't understand in Barbados of late, and as I said before, one of my number one moderators, Dave Ellis, when I was there, he always said I'm going after the press or the fourth estate. But I can't understand how people waiting on the day of a by-election and reporters could turn up to hear our prime minister speak. And she got to beg them to ask her something. Well, that
it happened. Didn't sound like begging to me. She asked twice. They didn't have any questions, and that was that.
Well, she asked, and nobody answered. No one.
So but I'm what questions those, should they have asked? Were there critical and burning questions that needed to be asked about the date of a by-election?
It ain't only that they could have asked. Mm-hmm. She never said, ask me only about the election.
Okay. So she should have asked them, they should have asked about something off topic.
Anything they would like to ask, no one answered. Mm, okay. Let me move on to my next point.
Please.
Now, for the last 2 years, certain moderators and callers keep questioning why people believe that Dale Marshall could do something about the high crime rate.
Yes.
And I even sit there today and listen. I hear a particular moderator saying, he don't put the gun in nobody's hand, and he done, and they're going on and going on. What is confusing to Alvin? Especially between 2014 and 2018.
Mm-hmm.
The Barbados Labour Party criticized the last administration for every possible thing you could think about. And blacklisting, it was the government fault. It didn't that these big international places, international organizations, to me, is unfair in small countries. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever the small countries go and try to stop the hole that they're asking for, then another put the bam, they bring something else. And the small countries going on and doing, and they can't satisfy these international bodies. They never say that. They blame Chris Sinclair.
Uh-huh.
Everything was blamed on the government. And the Attorney General of Barbados, the present Attorney General of Barbados, get mileage out of going after Mr. Baffert. Mileage. And the way the stations held in. Even in the water.
But we know this is what happens when parties are in opposition, don't we?
When you come on now like me,
mm-hmm.
when you come on now like me, and criticize Mr. Dale Marshall, I'm wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe if he could kill somebody, if he could put a gun in his hand, he is reaping what he saw.
Well, I cannot support you in that because I don't know that anyone has sown anything that has caused us to have this level of violence in Barbados.
When I say store,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he practiced what is happening to him now, to the last Attorney General. He was the main critic of the last Attorney General, giving the public the impression that is the policies and the decisions made by the Attorney General that had the crime rate that it was at. Although it never went past 19, it was at 19, I think, in 2017. Only 19. And not only that.
You're talking about murders.
Murders, yeah. And let me tell you this here, too. They had a problem in the north that hurt me because even around Christmas, people can get water. And the last government was blamed for it every day. And the same Attorney General was out there campaigning about the water problem in the north. And he only was campaigning in the north. He walked all around the water was building in the pine. I say all that to say this.
Okay.
Politicians, including one that I am a member of, got to start being real in their criticism. Because right now it's hard, and they have all the supporters in trouble because the supporters cannot answer the things that's going on because they have no control over these things. Mr. Bradford had no control over the crime rate in Barbados. Neither did Marshall.
But I think that when you're in government, you have to take responsibility for what happens during your watch.
Not for shooting, though. Not for shooting.
Well, you may not be responsible. You did not carry out the action. But you are responsible. You are partially responsible for the running of the country. And I'm sure that every government is faced with issues that have come from the previous one, from issues that are structural. So the question for the government of the day is, how are we going to address this problem? I don't think it's good enough to continually blame a previous administration. Yes, there is some blame that can be laid with a previous administration, but now you have the power. What are you going to do about it? And I think every government that I have seen has done this. They blame the previous one. Even in the second term, they're talking about how this is because of the previous government and all of the errors that they've made. Fair enough. But now that you are in a position of power, how are you going to address this? How are you going to redress this situation? And I think that we have to start, whilst we acknowledge that all problems are not of our making, we have to start thinking about how we are going to take responsibility for addressing them. That's all I can really say.
My final thing before you leave.
Yes.
They're the upper house and the lower house.
Yes.
Out of all the members in the House and the Senate right now, 30 and 21.
Mm-hmm.
Most outstanding person, so from 1 up to 9 out of 10. Because I don't give nobody 10 out of 10. Which one you will vote for right now?
I can only vote in my constituency.
Representing Barbadians right now. Which one you will give? Not including the Prime Minister.
Well, I can't vote in that way. That's not how our system works. I can only vote in my constituency, so...
No, we're talking about being satisfied with what you're hearing and seeing coming from the two chambers. Which one out of all of them you will give a high mark to?
I will have to abstain on this one. That's a choice that voters get to, right?
I asked a question, so let me give you mine.
Yes, please do.
There's a gentleman called Mr. Franklin.
All right.
I would give him a 9 out of 10.
Okay.
Okay, and let me tell you why I would give him a 9 out of 10.
Go ahead.
We have 30 in the House Assembly, one opposition. And we, the people of Barbados, only know about the errors in the legislations and things that happened that didn't there before because of this gentleman. Mm. Are you right or wrong?
He does have a keen eye for pointing out some errors.
Okay. And this question. How if a man in the Senate among other senators could be doing such a job to enlighten us? How the head of the union could be opposed to him?
I couldn't answer that question.
And criticizing him all the time. Not only criticizing this gentleman and detail this gentleman who ran it from the position, you know, this man who ran it to get in the way. But we have the secretary of the Barbados Workers Union and some of the others going after this man daily for enlightening me that I only find out that they was trying to bring a domestic partnership through the back door. I only knew about when they was talking about forced savings and meet a turn and end up in boss. I know that too. And you could call all the things that we learned in the last 2 years to Mr. Feitling. Oh. Representing the workers of this country could be going after that man. And Miss Hayes, you have a good morning. And I like how you moderate. I hope that you be with us for a long time. Have a good day.
Thank you. You have a good day too. Good morning. Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
Hi, I just called in to address the issue there on Bike Hall Crossroad, Bushall Crossroad, opposite Howard Supermarket.
Okay, go ahead.
There has been a manhole that was taped wrong the last 6-7 weeks there, and it's still there. And it makes it into one lane in most cases, like if you have a truck or a large vehicle coming down. Oh. I'm just saying 6 weeks might be a lot, but I don't know the circumstances. I don't know if they went for a part from overseas. I don't know what. But if the MTW or Waterworks or whoever's listening, I would like them to see if they could please speed up and getting it fixed so that, you know, you won't get... I saw a situation there yesterday that could have escalated. So I'm saying if that could be avoided, then that would be good. So
you're saying it's dangerous then?
It's right, yes, it is dangerous. And it was there long.
Okay.
I don't imagine what would cause, you know, a manhole. I don't know. But 6-7 weeks, I think that's a bit much. I don't know if they're waiting for something for overseas. Like I said, they're waiting for a manhole to get well and filled or whatever. I don't know. But it needs addressing.
Repeat where it is. It's in front of Howard Supermarket.
Opposite Howard Supermarket, yeah, Bushall Crossroad. Okay. But this is Bushall and Bike Hall at the same time. Because Bike Hall is on the left and Bushall is on the right going up, so...
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I hope that it will be attended to. Thanks for bringing this to our attention.